Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 31. This is God's Word. "Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching, because his message had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, 'Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' 'Be quiet,' Jesus said sternly. 'Come out of him.' Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, 'What is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out.' And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, 'You are the Son of God!' But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew who he was, the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent.' And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What was it that we first see in this text that amazed the people? He went to Capernaum, a town not that far from Nazareth. They're in Galilee. He went there, and on the Sabbath, he began to teach the people, and they were amazed at his teaching. What was it about his teaching? Because his message had authority. Typical rabbinic approach to teaching is to say, well, so-and-so says this, so-and-so says this, so-and-so says this. This could mean this, it could mean this. You remember in the previous verses here in this same chapter, Jesus was in his hometown, and when he taught on the Sabbath day, they handed him the scroll of Isaiah. He taught from that scroll, and he didn't say, "Perhaps this will be fulfilled someday." He said, "This is now fulfilled in your hearing." That's authoritative. He didn't give six different interpretations or two different interpretations. He said, "This is now fulfilled." Well, likewise, when he's in Capernaum, on the Sabbath as he's teaching. They're amazed because Jesus just says, this is the way it is. He taught with authority. It wasn't just his opinion. He is the one that all the scriptures point to. He is the Word of God in human flesh. And so they were amazed that his message had authority. But then something else happened. This is a really disruptive event. A demoniac starts heckling Jesus when he's teaching in the synagogue. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice. Okay, it wasn't a murmur in the crowd. He yelled as loudly as he could, "Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now here's the thing. When he says, "Have you come to destroy us?" he wasn't talking about the people of Capernaum. He was talking about the other demons. There were a lot of them. You read on in that passage. There were many who were demonized. They recognized Jesus. Why? Because long before these people were born, those evil spirits had been around. When a demon-possessed person dies, that demon doesn't die with them. The demons live. They are fallen angels. Pastor Wood, do you really believe that all is true? I had a psychology professor in college who didn't believe in demons. He thought it was just, you know, mythology. He was an ordained Southern Baptist teaching at a Presbyterian college, and he'd gotten his PhD at Duke, which is a Methodist school. So I asked him, why did Jesus treat demons as if they were real and not just a psychological problem? And he said, "Well, Jim, I believe that Jesus was a man of his age and generation. That was the world view at that time. And Jesus perhaps accommodated himself to the mindset of the people." And I said, "Well, in Mark 5, when Jesus cast demons out of the man, they went into the herd of swine and caused suicidal behavior in the pigs. What happened there?" "Well, that's a good question. I've never thought of that." Sidebar: if you're going to take issue with the Word of God, do your homework. The problem with unbelievers is they don't even know what all they're disbelieving. God's word is true. And if your worldview doesn't line up with Scripture, you're the one who's ignorant, not the people who wrote the Scriptures. Demons are real. Just a little before this, we have Satan personally tempting Jesus. So yes, Virginia, Satan is real. Demons are real. Angels are real. The story is true. Now, do you believe there are demons today? Absolutely. Not only did they not die out in New Testament times, they didn't die out in the 1600s or the 1700s or the 1800s or even in my century, the 1900s. Okay? The demons are still around and they're still real. Well, you said they're fallen angels. Yes. There was a rebellion and they lost. Rebellion against God always brings defeat. You might make note of that. That's not the main point for today, but it's worth noting. Rebellion against God always brings defeat. When God says this and you say no, you're the one who's wrong. I remember the first time I flew on an airplane. It was a 747 jumbo jet back when I was a teenager. I was absolutely amazed. Because you get up in the air, and everything on the ground looks a lot smaller. You see little buildings that, when you're on the ground, seemed really big. Things like, the Los Angeles Airport. It's a big place when you're in it, but that's because we're small. When you get up in the air, LAX is not all that big. You can put a quarter over it and hide it. You know what? If you get even higher, it's even smaller. And when the astronauts go out in space and they look back at the blue marble that's hanging there, Earth is kind of small. And when you compare Earth in the solar system, Earth is really small. And when you look at our solar system in the context of the galaxy, we're kind of a small solar system. And when you look at our galaxy in the context of the universe, there are a lot of galaxies in the universe. But here's the kicker. God made the universe. And He is infinite. The universe is huge. But God spoke it into being and still controls the whole thing and knows all the stars by name. In that context, does rebellion against God make any sense? To say for us, these little tiny creatures on this little tiny planet, to yell at God and say, I don't have to do what you say. I'm going to be my own boss. What an insane thing. And that is the natural state of all of us before God opens our eyes. All of us come into this world determined to be our own boss. And it doesn't work. That's why we have such a mess in the world today.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, when this demon cries out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Jesus didn't say, that's right. Be sure these people know that. No, he doesn't need the devil doing his PR. He said, be quiet. And he said it sternly. Come out of him. And so the demon threw the man down before them and came out without hurting him. Now, that's a marvelous thing. This man was delivered from the forces of darkness that had enslaved him and animated him. What percentage of people, Pastor, would you say are influenced by demons? Well, Ephesians 2 says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. So you'd say it's a high percentage of people who are under the influence of the evil one? No, it's not just a high percentage, it's 100%. That's how we all start out. We are part of the kingdom of darkness, and we need to be rescued and brought into the kingdom of God's Son. You're not saying everybody's demon-possessed, are you? I'm saying all of us start out as part of that kingdom, and we are influenced, some more obviously than others, but we are influenced by evil forces. Now, we also have a sin nature, and that's described there too. It's not just demons. You can't, when you do something wrong, just say, well, the devil made me do it. That's not really accurate. But there are people who end up so enslaved by the enemy that even other people who are under the influence of the enemy say, oh, that's bad. That's really bad. Okay? If you look at what happened here, this guy was in the synagogue. Do you think when he came in, everybody was like, oh, no, he's here again? Not necessarily. But when confronted with God incarnate, the demon that was in him couldn't take it, was fearful. Have you come to destroy us? We'll see another encounter elsewhere. When one of the demons speaks, have you come to destroy us before the time? Jesus, I think you've shown up early because we know eventually we're going to be destroyed, but we didn't think that was going to happen right now. We thought we still had time left. Satan and the demons know that their end is destruction. But Jesus says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel thereon. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few people find it. Those are the only two alternatives. Jesus told that spirit to be quiet, to come out of him, and the demon obeyed. All the people were amazed and said to each other, what is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits, and they come out. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Now, notice, they were first amazed by his teaching having authority. Now they're amazed that he has authority and power even to cast out demons. Well, Jesus left the synagogue, went to Simon Peter's home, and Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her, and notice the phrase. What did he do? Rebuked the fever, and it left her. Jesus spoke to her sickness as something that he could command to leave. Does that mean it was a demon too? Maybe. Especially in this context, it's looking that way. But not necessarily. Are you saying that all sickness is caused by demons? No, I'm definitely not saying that. But do you think sometimes demons are involved with sickness? Definitely, and we see more than one example of that in the New Testament, and I'm not talking about this one. There was a woman who was crippled, bent over for years. Jesus healed her, saying that she'd been bound by Satan for all those years. There was another person who was deaf and mute, and Jesus commanded the deaf and mute spirit to leave the man, and immediately he could hear and he could speak. So sometimes there are demonic spirits that are causing medical problems. But the Bible doesn't say that's always the case. So don't go from one error to another. Jesus left the synagogue, he went there, he rebuked the fever, it left her, and she got up at once and began to wait on them. Now, That is impressive, isn't it? She didn't start to get better. She was so thoroughly healed that she got up immediately and began to wait on them. Then when the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of a few people. Is that what it says? No. Demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." I mean, these demons, Jesus is really shaking up the world. Because these demons have had free reign in all these lives. They have messed up so many people for so long. From generation to generation to generation to generation, demons have been having wide reign. And now Jesus is coming on the scene. And he's putting an end to that and setting people free. Do you remember what he said in the synagogue when he read the scripture? "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus is bringing the kingdom to bear there in Capernaum. And people are getting set free from the forces of darkness. So the people brought folks with all kinds of sickness, and Jesus took time for each one. Laying his hands on each one, he healed them. And when the demons shouted, "You are the Son of God," he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. After he's done this, and obviously it says there were lots of people, and Jesus took time for each one. After he's done all of that, he says, "I'm sorry, guys. Maybe I can help some of you tomorrow, but I have got to get some sleep." Is that what he said? No. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. Daybreak comes early. And the people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them, but he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching. He's traveling around preaching the news. Now, what is the main point today? Jesus spoke with authority to people, demons, sickness, and the forces of nature. Well, where is that in this? It's not. It's coming up in chapter 8. But Jesus has authority over all things. Why? Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. We emphasize that here because all of us need to remember it, and because the devil doesn't like it when we confess it. But one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the reason is because Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, if Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is, then when he speaks, what should we do? Obey. Obey. Sickness obeyed. The demons obeyed. The forces of nature obeyed. The humans, while they're slaves of the enemy, think they don't have to obey. A huge mistake. Bow before him. Trust him. Obey him. He is worthy. Jesus Christ is Lord.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.